Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Let's get things going right away here with some good news and some bad news. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Let's do that. A man has pled guilty to breaking into his own grandma's house to steal $1.25 worth of hot dogs.
Not Nana's. Not Nana's house. Not the hot dogs.
Oh, yes.
I mean, did you break down the price of a pack of hot dogs and that's how you came to $1.25 or whatever right. It was?
Yeah, so at 4:30 a.m. on a Tuesday, 22-year-old by the name of Daniel Allen, a little under the influence, he was high, broke into Grandma's house in England. His grandmother was woken up by her cats meowing at Daniel. When she came downstairs, she found him eating her hot dogs. They got into a quite unpleasant confrontation, and she called the cops. Daniel was arrested for burglary and theft for stealing $1.25 worth of hot dogs. He pleaded guilty in court and will be sentenced later this year. So,
do we know if those hot dogs were cooked or was he eating them raw like a maniac?
And were they, if they were raw, were they just the regular raw hot dogs or were they the cheese-stuffed hot dogs, if you remember those from back in the day.
I don't even think they make those anymore.
I don't think so either.
Those should be illegal, right? I mean, as far as the inventions back in the day, things that they tried to put cheese in, the pizza crust never really worked, if we're being honest. And the hot dogs was just a really, really bad idea.
I guess Nathan still makes a cheese beef frank. And Nathan's is pretty good, I would say, when it comes to hot dogs. It's up there, I would say, it's in the top five, top six of national brands of hot dogs.
Did you just quickly Google that, or was that somewhere in your spank bank that you just went back to?
No, I Googled it.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Johnsonville has a beef and cheddar, or they call it better with cheddar, and that's a brat. That's like a smoked sausage. So I don't know if that can fall into the same realm as hot dogs, because I feel like brats and hot dogs, vastly different.
Yeah, same family, but distant cousins, right? Yeah, they're definitely not the same. Like, if you're eating a brat and you say I'm eating a hot dog, I'm like, no, you're not. What are you talking about?
You're crazy.
Like brats aren't like the steroided version. Like, I always feel like if you have a brat, like you got something to prove.
Brats very different. Very different.
Very different to brats, yeah. Yeah. Now, when you bite into a brat, it's going to explode all over your face.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. some good news today as well. A legally blind and hearing impaired teen has become a household name in the world of bowling, believe it or not. He is from Modesto. His name is Jacob Gaddam. And that's G-A-D-D-A-M. Jacob, right. Goddamn,
son. Daddy.
Goddamn.
Or if he's in class, they, goddamn, Jacob. We have a goddamn Jacob in here.
Present. Jacob is legally blind, hearing impaired. His tenacious spirit and passion for life has led to national titles and big stats. I shot a few 300s and won 800 series, and last season I clocked in an average 234. I mean, that is incredible. I mean, when I go bowling, I'm normally happy if I'm, like, in the 90s, you know? I mean, maybe I'll have a good game and get, you know, like, 130 if it's, like, a crazy good game. I mean, this kid's averaging 234, and he's legally blind. He said, I will have to admit that I've got a stubborn side. When somebody tells me I can't do it, I'll just prove them wrong. It's Northern California is his home, but he's traveling all over the country doing this, including in New York. He's become a pro bowler. That's his dream. And he has a few other goals he wants to accomplish. I want to try to become a mechanic for a boat or be with animals because I love animals. And if those things don't work out, I'll fall to my backup plan and become a Braille teacher, said Jacob.
Oh, very cool. Nice. I love it. Inspiring. That's really cool. I would, you know, I mean, because if you think about sports that, you know, if you are blind, it kind of limits your choices. But bowling, I would say bowling and probably what, darts?
Bowling, maybe darts, maybe, yeah. I don't know. Archery?
I don't know. Archery. Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't know. I love this, though.
Frisbee, whatever it's called.
No, what is that called? You're not
disc
not
frisbee?
Frisbee golf. Yeah.
Jeez.
Maybe.
But yeah, very impressive young man. I mean, he's over here averaging 234, and he shot a few 300. So
he averages damn
indeed, Jacob.
Better than my best game ever.
Oh, what was your number? What was your best game?
Telling me that you remember your best game ever?
It was like 211.
You're such a liar.
Oh. I'm not.
I've been
you were there.
With you.
You were there.
All gutter balls. You're the worst.
2010, 2009. Yep. So deal with it. It was like September.
It's September. You remember the month?
It wasn't something like September. I mean,
it was September 2009.
Do you remember?
Then you remember the exact date because you don't remember the month.
I
and
don't
the
remember
year
the.
From
I don't remember the
exact
date. I just remember it was one of my wife and I's first dates.
It was a cool, crisp fall morning.
Oh, cool.
The weather was just right.
You peaked too soon with her. She thought she was getting in bed with a successful bowler, and meanwhile over here you just bamboozled her. You were half drunk on a pitcher of Blue Moon. I remember that date.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Well, I guess this is good news. Coronavirus is slowly mutating, but it's not quickly mutating, which is a good thing, which means that vaccines will be more effective. So health experts say that the novel coronavirus is mutating at a slower rate than several other respiratory viruses, and that means the virus has already undergone 24 genetic changes, leading many to fear that it would be an even deadlier strain, and it could be around the corner. However, scientists say the mutations don't vary that much from where it originated in Wuhan, and nor are they more severe. That means that once a vaccine is readily available, it could provide protection against both the original virus and any mutations for several years. So currently, research is focused on the spike in the protein, the part of the outside of the virus that it uses to enter human cells. In more than 20,000 samples sequenced around the world, there have been no changes seen to the spike protein, according to the Johns Hopkins team. So, all things considered, there's not a lot of good news when it comes to the coronavirus, but the fact that it's not constantly mutating is a good thing. And so the thought is that if there is a vaccine in hopefully the not too distant future, it'll be able to knock this thing back for years to come.
That would be great. I mean, that's what we can all hope for. That, I mean, I feel like that's what it's going to finally take to get things back to normal, right?
Yeah.
Yes, to get it fully back to normal, right? Because we're seeing some of these states that are showing real points of concern.
People are
that
pretending it's back to normal, but it's not. That's the difference. You may be going about your daily life. You may be acting in your daily life. But I'm saying, like, to truly get things back to a normal place where we were, you know, pre-pandemic.
I saw a great tweet about this last night. Somebody tweeted that you can't use the phrase anymore, avoid it like the plague, because as it turns out, people won't even do that. So
nope. Well, no, we will for about 2 months.
Maybe about eight weeks, somewhere in there. And then, come on in. Like, officials studied the coronavirus with two hairdressers that had the coronavirus in Missouri. And what's nothing about the coronavirus makes any sense, because the thought is that asymptomatic people can spread it, and then the World Health Organization says not really, and then they say, oh wait, yes you can. But the idea is that if somebody has symptoms and they're showing those symptoms, then they definitely can spread it. But this is what's interesting about this story, is that in Missouri there was two hairdressers that have coronavirus that did have symptoms, and they cut the hair of 140 different people.
Oh, wow.
And not a single one of those customers got infected.
Well, that's good.
Well, it's good, but you're like, well, how does nothing about this makes any sense?
Because they're right by their face the entire time.
Well, did they
is
have
there,
like, masks?
You're getting your hair washed and stuff?
Did they have masks on, though? That, you know, I mean, like, I would love to know a little bit more about how this all went down. Like, did they
They did have masks on, though, you'd think that over the course of 140 people for two different hairdressers that are both showing symptoms, I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe the mask really is very, very effective, or maybe whatever it is that they put up in place, whether it's plastic barriers or whatever, worked. But it's, again, it doesn't make a lot of sense. So
no, but I feel like we say this a lot. Like, if you are sick in general, what are you doing going to work?
Right.
Yeah. Like, even if you have the flu,
that's because it's bad. It's bad work environments, and it's bad bosses who don't believe you, who don't care whether or not you are sick or not. You know, because a good boss, which our bosses, thank God we have good bosses where we are, go, do not come in when you are sick. I mean, to be fair, they don't. They do say that, though.
They do.
You know, like,
I agree with
that. Because we don't want other people to get sick. Yeah, I mean, Bossy Rossi is horrible and everything else, but he is good at least saying, you know, if you are sick, stay home. you know, but there's a lot of really bad bosses, a lot of really bad businesses that are out there that
well, and just lack of money too, right? I mean, that's a big thing too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, especially with hair salons shut down.
Yeah, if you haven't been able to cut hair in a couple of months and you haven't been able to make any money, then trying to find that cash too.
The time to go back isn't whenever you have symptoms.
No. You're right. You're right about that. That is wildly, wildly inappropriate, as well as dangerous to other people. I would too.
I would be.
Imagine being in the chair and not knowing. Imagine being in the chair and you having high risk family members that you have to go home to, and your hairstylist did not tell you she had symptoms of COVID.
My hairstylist, my guy, is a good friend who I've known for 15 years. I'm still not going back. Still not.
Well, not because he's got COVID, just because
you found ways
to cut your own hair.
Well, no, that, and I don't want to be, like I said, I'm avoiding, being around, just people who I don't know in a, I don't want to have to sit around in a barber shop or, things of that nature. I'm just trying to avoid the public as much as possible.
That's fair.
Yeah. Well, and your world works like that. Not everyone's does, but yours does. So, yeah, you can take advantage of it. And finally, studies published out this week show that there could be a snooze button for the brain. I figured you really like this story, Mahoney. They're saying that in one study that was published in Nature, researchers from the university in Japan found that neurons in the brain of rodents can be artificially activated to send the animals into a hibernation-like state. They remained in that state similar to that seen in hibernation for more than 48 hours, after which they behave totally normally with no signs of physical harm. So the authors said this could actually be really effective for people without having to put them in a medically induced coma if they're able to activate this part of the brain that just naturally makes you kind of go into this hibernation style, and lowering the body temperature dramatically slow down their metabolism, conserve energy often in winter. That's how hibernation works. But if the brain has a function that's essentially a snooze button, how cool is that?
I feel like that's going to be a key breakthrough in the terms of interstellar or interplanetary travel between planets. I feel like because what is it? It's going to take what was it 3 or 6 months to get to Mars? Something crazy like that. So I don't think if we could find a way to just
sleep the whole time, get there nice and rested up, ready to go, out that red planet. Yeah.
Then you hit snooze again, then you're asleep for 3 more months.
You accidentally come all the way back to Earth.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Audrey, of all of you, who do you think is the best significant other? And you can name yourself if you want, but just honestly think about it.
Message deleted.
This is a toughie. I mean, picking me would be the easy route, right? Because I know how I am. But I don't want to do that. I want to say, of the three of you, I think Mahoney would be a really good significant other. I like independence, and I feel like he would just kind of stay over there.
What are you talking about? You are insane. Mahoney is every single week, Mahoney's wife sends us a running list of all of the terrible things that he does. If I did any single one of those things, my wife would divorce me in a skinny minute. What are you talking about, lady?
It's about efficiency. Audrey understands efficiency.
He leaves trash on the counter.
I also love low maintenance relationships. I love
gross.
Low maintenance.
And
I think that Mahoney gives Aaron her space. Aaron is a 3, Enneagram. We have similar personality types.
Wait, you just called Aaron a 3 out of 10? Oh, my God.
She does that, Mahoney?
Oh, my God.
No, that's not what I mean.
Wow.
So we have similar personality types, and I think that she likes her independence, and Mahoney gives that to her. So I respect Mahoney for that.
Thank
MVP.
You.
He doesn't give her her independence.
Thank
he's
you,
just disinterested because he's napping.
Yeah, he's asleep half the time.
Again, you guys are trying to slander my good character. And
you
Audrey
don't have a
being
good
the
character
very
to
wise
slander.
Woman that she is can see it for what it is. Thank you, Audrey.
Audrey's
Thank
an
you.
Idiot. What is she talking about? This is garbage. I'm over here giving my wife as many kids as she wants. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Uh-huh.
A lot of work.
Please leave a message after the tone.
worst MOSFET story I ever had, seeing Slipknot. And it wasn't even the band, it wasn't even Slipknot yet. It was one of the bands opening for them that I also, like, lost my glasses and my phone. And I was the one who was driving. The girl who we came with, she ended up going home with somebody else. So my friend who had just gotten his driver's permit at 17 had to drive us home. Yeah, that sucked.
Message deleted.
No, I'm so sorry.
Look, we've all had, you know, rough experiences on our way up, but if you're that dweeb who goes into a mosh pit, you lose your glasses, and then your date ditches you to go home with somebody else, like, that is kind of, that is not one of the finer moments that maybe I would choose to recount on the radio, but you know what? You do you.
Why are you shaming this guy? He's
shut up, my homie.
Intimate moment.
You're over
with
here just taking
Dave.
Another victory lap about what a great lover you are.
Yeah.
Shut up.
In reality, you're a three.
Lover. Yeah. I didn't say lover. I don't. You just said which ones would be the best significant others. And I
you
like
hear that,
space.
Mahoney? She thinks
I
you're
like
a terrible lover.
She's probably right.
she thinks you're a terrible lover, and the only reason she likes you is because you would stay away from her.
Please leave a message after the
pro
show.
Tip, though. Pro tip. If you are going to go into a pit with glasses, you got to get those, like, 1990,
goggles.
Early 90s, like, Horace Grant goggles to go in.
Yeah, like the little kind of elasticy but foamy band that goes around the back of your head. You know what I'm
saying? I got a bunch of them if you guys need them. If you need them, I got a bunch.
Did you know?
I would take those goggles and go whap right back on your face if I was in a mosh pit.
Did you know that Horace Grant got LASIK and actually didn't even need the goggles for a good portion of his career?
They were just his thing. I mean, that's how
he wanted to inspire kids who had, you know, like, aww, sight issues, to show that they could become, you know, great professional athletes like he was. So that's why I kept wearing them.
Oh. That's stupid.
Yeah, now I'm just on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Thanks, Horace.
It's a lot, Horace.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Paper cut between the fingers or between the toes. What's the worst way to torture someone? I dare one of you to do it right now. I dare you.
Message deleted.
My delicate body cannot handle it, and I'll tell you guys why. Because the other day, my wife bought my kids a, like, slip and slide thing, and, you know, I was out there playing with them, and they're just loving the little slip and slide, first time ever experiencing something like that. I stepped on a bee, and it stung me on the inside of my pointer toe. I don't know if you call it pointer toe, but in between the big toe and the toe that's next to it, stung pointer. Me on the pointer toe. And that sucked. I haven't been stung by a bee in years. And I mean, I guess in hindsight, I'm glad that it was me instead of one of my kids, but not really. I mean, if we're being honest, they're young, they can take it. I was hobbling around, just like, oh, God, Lord, have mercy.
So you're saying toes is worse?
Toes is way worse, man. Like, your hands see some stuff. My toes, I mean, I don't know about you guys.
I'd say it depends on the hand. If it's your dominant hand, then I feel like that is worse than your foot, because everything you do, your hand is getting hit by it. And let's just take, I feel like we should take it up a notch. Like, paper cut, nah, that's for amateurs.
Oh,
professionals.
No. Oh,
cardboard cuts.
No.
Cardboard cuts, those could be lethal.
Those are the worst.
So
like, you're trying to open
deep
up an Amazon package and it gets you right in between the fingers. You fall down immediately. You just bleed out.
The problem that I have with the cardboard cuts is that when I am handling an Amazon box or whatever other box, I feel like such a badass until something like that happens, right? Like, you're like punching it and ripping it over. And then all of a sudden you get the old... You never do that to the bottom of it? Like, when you're trying to break it down to put it in the recycling bin? Like, I'll punch the bottom to, like, break through the tape.
I don't even break it down.
Badass, Dave. You badass.
Thank you, Ian.
I just use
thank
scissors.
You. Thank scissors you. Oh, of course you do. You're so soft, and Audrey's not over here even breaking down the boxes. You guys are perfect together, you losers.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, love to see this. Google, Microsoft, and some other tech giants coming together, including Facebook and Twitter, to get rid of child abuse, at least to the best of their ability. So the Technology Coalition, established almost 15 years ago to fight child exploitation online, said working together, the companies can make a sizable impact. Growth in technology, it's made it more difficult to consistently fight crimes against children in some cases, but the number of people online, more than 4.5 billion in 2020, has added to the challenge of keeping the internet a safe place. And so you have to get these tech giants to buy into it. Well, they have now. So the coalition proposed a five-pillar plan to reinforce a cross-industry approach to combating child sex abuse and exploitation, establishing a research fund to create tracking tools, publish an annual progress report, and start a forum to share best practices. So we talk about this all the time. You know, kids absolutely need to be protected in every single way. And these huge tech companies that people give their information to, and that they that do a lot of tracking. Look, if you're sitting here tracking me, I'm talking to you, Facebook, every time that I say the word Snickers, and now there's going to be a Snickers ad that pops up on all of my social media throughout the day. And same thing with Google. If they're tracking me to sell me stuff, you better be good citizens too, and you better be tracking people that are trying to do bad things and making sure they can't, especially when there's children involved.
Yeah, I don't think there's any more singular topic in the world that everybody, you know, that 99.999999 repeating percent can agree on, is that child abuse is horrible, and that it can eat, like, and especially the proliferation of it onto the internet. You're right, Dave. If they can track it, use it for good. Like, at least, like, give us something good out of the awful that you are creating. Like, let's, like, you know, it's like, okay, you can have all my information if you can promise that this kind of stuff will never be filtered, you know, will never pop up, and we will turn over all the names and the offenders to the authorities immediately. You know, like, that would be like, okay, that's a step in the right direction.
I would be willing to give up some of my privacy, certainly, to make sure.
I don't
want to
give up any more, but because we've already given up so much.
We've given up our privacy for really no benefit to us, right?
Yeah.
If this isn't a benefit to us necessarily, it's a benefit to the kids, and for that, there is a sacrifice that I know I personally would be willing to make, right? Because it's so important. So, Mahoney, I've got some terrible news for you. Bald men may be getting hit harder by coronavirus.
Why are you? I have a full head of hair.
Just the receding hairline. Yeah,
no, it's
bald. Sorry for your loss, Mahoney.
Everybody's seeing how thick my hair is. I shaved my head during the quarantine.
You've been a good friend over the years, but it's time to say goodbye. Every last one of you follicles, you've served me well. He dead.
You know you're gonna go bald before I do. You know that's what's gonna happen. Right?
That's not possible. You're already bald. Yeah.
You make $5 million for 6 weeks worth of work. You can pretend to talk with some food.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present Celeb Dread.
The one thing you've dreaded from the moment you made the decision to come here.
You got a lot of nerve, boy. I'll tell you.
So Celeb Dread is where different celebrities are going around, working the circuit, promoting whatever it is. Sometimes it's a movie, sometimes whatever their latest project is, whether it's stand-up comedy or a TV show. And sometimes these interviews go a bit off the rails because the celebrities just don't really want to be there. And that's exactly what we find here. This is Sir Ben Kingsley. And Mahoney, you were kind enough to point out, I mean, this gentleman has been knighted. So, I mean, is he to be taken seriously? You could make an argument.
I mean, one of the finest actors of a generation, I would say. I mean, so many iconic roles. And this one, I would say, does not fall on that iconic spectrum.
Well, so that's the thing, is that we're always trying to figure out in these interviews who is in the wrong, because we have definitely had our fair share of clown-like interviewers over the course of doing Celeb Dread, where the person that's asking the questions is just doing a terrible, terrible job. But we've also had a lot of bad interviewees as well, where the person that is the celebrity, in this case, Sir Ben Kingsley, are just total grumps and are acting that way from the jump. Again, he's here promoting Night at the Museum's Secret of the Tomb, which was the third Night at the Museum movie. So I don't know if Sir Ben Kingsley, even though he's been knighted, really has a leg to stand on by taking himself too seriously. But you guys can decide for yourself. So again, the interviewer here was just some random interviewer, not some big, you know, Barbara Walters style name. Just a random person that's talking to him about his new movie, and he is having none of it from the go. Sir Ben Kingsley on Celeb Dread.
Demolished about four croissants.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which is always a good way to start the morning. Well,
very
any morning.
Good. What was in the croissants?
Well, I had an almond croissant, and then I had a Danish pastry, and then I just had a chocolate muffin.
Oh, excellent. 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 I thought there might be drugs in the muffin. I think there were, don't you? Definitely. Yes.
Right.
I would get this while we can, actually. Are you rolling? Excellent. Okay. I'm not going to say anything in this interview. We're just going to enjoy you laughing and talking about croissants, okay? Go.
Okay, so this is the best Christmas film. It's just for all the family, and my dad's going to love it.
Good, good. I'm delighted to hear. Is your dad here?
He's not here.
What a shame. He's missing a treat. Does he know his daughter's on drugs? Muffins, I mean.
I think he had a sneaky suspicion.
Mm, mm.
But, no, joking.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, so Sir Ben Kingsley acting like an a-hole there. That's on him.
I feel like
this is just very dry.
Yeah,
it hasn't gotten crazy just yet.
Just yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not mad yet. I mean, I feel like this is just the English way of, like, you know, kind of like jabbing at people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think she's nervous laughing for sure.
For
but
sure.
I don't know if that's out of, like, her being nervous because he is poking fun at her or because she's expecting him just to take a turn for the worse.
Well, or it's Ben Kingsley, who's a big time actor, especially, you know, obviously.
True.
She's,
yes.
You know, over in the UK, he's huge.
Well, so let's continue. Here is the second and final part of Celeb Dread, and I think this will answer your question if it's going to take a turn for the worse or not.
When you're at home, you know, there's always lots of films on TV. If a film of yours ever comes on screen, do you sit down and watch it?
No, I don't. No, no. Next question. Sit back, otherwise we can't see you and you're out of focus. There you go.
Thank you very much. What would be your ultimate favourite dinner party, dream dinner party, and you bring back anybody?
Well, I'm trying to answer the question differently because I'm asked this by every interviewer.
Oh.
So if I give the same name, it's going to get really boring. Yes, I'm sorry to tell you that I've heard that question before.
That's not an original question.
No. Sorry, Poppy, is it?
Yes.
Yes, sorry, Poppy. So it would be Charlie Chaplin.
You watched the other cast members improvise?
No, I didn't. I was in the studio in the scene. When I'm not in a scene in the film, I'm not on the film set. It's a day off. It's called a day off.
That's such a shame.
Mm.
And you don't just go into work just because it's fun on the day off.
No. Would you do that?
Yeah.
Would you go into your office on a day off just for fun and have... Ah, yes, and eat more croissants.
Well, you've been fabulous. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
For your time.
I do love that she clapped back at him there at the end. He was... Mm. Terrible. And she goes, "You've been fabulous. Thank you so much."
Yeah, she played it classy. I liked her.
Poppy, poor girl.
Thank you, Poppy.
Her name is
telling
Poppy
her where
Jamie.
telling her where to sit, and you're out of focus.
Well,
shut
that,
up, Ben
that
Kingsley.
Actually is, that actually, I don't hate that.
I didn't hate it either.
Now have a producer do. You're out here promoting Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. Get over yourself, Kingsley.
KXTE-FM HD1, Pahrump, Las Vegas. A radio.com station. Broadcasting live from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios. This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Getting to top stories, and first up here, how about the award for the best granddaughter going to a Canadian granddaughter? In fact, a Canadian woman said that she was unaware that she had just won herself a $40.4 million lottery jackpot until her granddaughter told her the winning ticket had been sold locally. That's when the grandma said, "Well, you know what? Maybe I should just double check my ticket just to be in case." So I went on the internet to check the number, she said, and I looked and it went 3, 12, 25, 36, 37, 42, 49. And that's when she realized, oh my, those are my numbers. So she won herself a $40.4 million jackpot, the largest lottery jackpot in the Northwest Territories. History in Canada, and she said she plans to use the winnings to help her family. Isn't that something, though?
I love that.
Aww.
That's so sweet. You know, it's like normally these stories would be like, and then she stole the lotto ticket and moved to Costa Rica.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're not necessarily done yet, right? I mean, this is still relatively new, so who knows where this is going? But yeah, I mean, what a huge! Can you imagine the thought of having the winning ticket and then realizing that you've lost it or you've thrown it away or you didn't pay attention and it expired, which might be the worst of them all.
Yeah.
because we've heard a few of those where they get in just before the expiration date. We've heard about a couple that have expired, and once it expires, it's done. But yeah, she didn't know that she had the winning ticket until her granddaughter gave her the old tip that, hey, maybe you should check your ticket. She bought it at a ReadyMart convenience store in Yellowknife, said she forgot to check the numbers after the drawing. Until that conversation, now has herself over $40 million in her pocket.
Oof.
Yeah. So a distillery in Australia had to recall a whole bunch of gin that they had sent out because they mistakenly sold the liquor when the bottles were actually filled with hand sanitizer.
Oh, no.
Oops.
Oh, don't drink that.
Oh, God. I feel like hand sanitizer would taste better than gin anyway.
Seriously.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. So the Apollo Bay Distillery in Victoria said 9 bottles that were labeled the SS Casino Gin were sold during the weekend at the Great Ocean Road Brew House in Apollo Bay. And, oops, they were actually full of... hand sanitizer. And, you know, obviously during the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of these different distilleries decided to step up and start making hand sanitizer because it was in such short order. But in this case, they say, yeah, you got to be real careful if you bought one of these bottles because consumption of the product may lead to nausea, headaches, dizziness, bloating, vomiting, thirst, and diarrhea.
I mean, I feel like I get half of those things when I drink gin anyway.
Yeah.
Right? It's called a hangover. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I don't know. I feel like hipsters are kind of moving towards gin, though. I feel like gin is the new hipster. Like, give me a slow gin fizz.
Hendrix. So,
yeah. I saw, in the hipster community, I saw an uptick maybe around 2010. So, yeah, I think it's coming back. Definitely.
You're speaking for the hipster community?
I have to on this show. Yes. So, yeah, Mahoney, you are correct. The hipsters are retaking gin. I'm so sorry.
Are you saying that Mahoney is a wannabe hipster? Like he's over here and he pretends to be in touch with the hipster community?
No, I don't want to. Like, if hipsters are drinking gin, I am the furthest thing from it. Like, you cannot pay me enough money to drink gin. It's so nasty and dry. You're just like
by itself. It's disgusting. Like a gin martini, barf all over the place. But if it's like mixed and stuff, like I do like Hendrix mixed drinks.
Like in a Long Island iced tea?
No, like some grapefruits, a little frothy top on there, some fresh.
At that point, just use
like
vodka
rosemary.
And it will be better.
Yeah. If you have to do that much to anything, I mean, yeah, you can take a butt ugly person and put them in a bunch of makeup and, you know, high heels and a beautiful dress and a fancy car. And at that point, you're just like, well, maybe I should just, you know. Drink something that's tastier to begin with, so that way you don't have to cover it in a whole bunch of other food.
True.
Yeah.
Or makeup. Well,
yeah, you got to wake up in the morning and roll over and look at it.
Yeah.
You've seen that gin.
You know what it can do to you.
Yeah, you know what you did last night. You're going to be ashamed.
Ooh, gin's so gross.
I'll have a sanitizer and tonic, please. Thank you.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So if there was a pill for something and you only got to choose one use for it, what would it be and why? Sarah immediately over on our Facebook said, a pill that would make me love cleaning, like it would be the most fun thing in the world. And then Maggie replied and said,
that exists. That exists.
She replied and said, it's called Adderall.
Yeah. Which, that too.
Oh, yeah.
Which, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, meth, Adderall, they're both amphetamines. You know, one's just you get it from
speed.
Your doctor. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This one got texted over to us, and it makes a whole lot of sense. How about a pill that gives you your youthful 20s body with all of the skills and knowledge that you have now? So
yes.
let's say whatever that moment was where you felt like you were in peak physical shape and you looked your best, you felt your best, everything was just firing on all cylinders, but you got to go back to it with having the wisdom that you have now after having, you know, a few more miles on the odometer, if you will. I think that is an excellent response.
Oh, I feel like that's so dangerous, though.
So dangerous.
I feel like that's so dangerous.
Why?
I mean, just if we go like if I mean I mean maybe if we don't get hurt the way that we got hurt back then, okay, fine, that might work. But if we just physically looked like that, but still had our brittle ass bones of being, you know, 40 plus.
Oh, no. I'm talking about an actual like going back to your whole body is in as good a shape as it's ever been or ever will be.
I would be unstoppable. Hoeing it up for the gram. I would be so bad. That would not be good.
That's hilarious. This one, a pill to erase a single memory. You know, like something that you can't unsee, yeah. Like that ding-dong pic that your friend forgot was on his phone. Or if I could just take a pill and make me unsee and unremember two girls, one cup, like that, I would take that pill right here, right now.
But I feel like if you did that, so then funny. You might have to encounter it again. At some point,
yeah, re-traumatize yourself.
Yeah, I feel like you've already dealt with that. You've moved on. You've dealt with that trauma. Like I feel like it's in the past, Dave. I think that it's an interesting concept, but also could be very dangerous.
You have to learn from your mistakes, Dave. Mm-hmm.
Jessica's I never do that for some reason. I can't bring myself to learn from my mistakes. Jessica said the 2020 is over pill. Careful what you wish for, man. That there's that implication that's for some reason 2021 is going to be better. Remember when we were all talking about how glad we were that 2019 was over?
And 2018 was over. Uh-huh. 2017 was over.
Yeah, it's going to be better. And then you're like, oh, wait, 2020. But so, yeah, I'm with you. Like 2020 has not been the ideal year for a lot of people. But 2021, I don't know, man. I don't know if things are going to get better or not.
Hopefully. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Keeping everything crossed.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
If you could take a pill that would make you do anything, but only one thing, what would you choose and why? This one texted over to us as well. A pill that would allow me to drive the golf ball 300 yards down the middle of the fairway all the time.
Yes.
But once you hit that 300 mark, you're going to want even further, though. Why don't you go for 400 yards?
Ooh, probably because you'd always overshoot the hole.
Just overshoot.
I don't know. Overshoot everything. Like, wouldn't that suck?
Or
like,
the 400.
You're on a par three and you're still driving at 300 yards. Dang it!
Damn it, Larry! Come on, we're playing a game.
Don't use the driver on a par three. You know, go to a wedge.
So this one said a pill that kept me motivated erases my laziness and procrastination. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like all of us have that. I mean, could you imagine? Like, I feel like that's kind of just humanity in general. Like, think of how much further, like, we would be as a planet if we all weren't just kind of, like, procrastinators and lazy.
Yeah.
My Brian laundry would get done so much faster.
Brian said a pill that would allow me to eat everything I wanted without gaining weight.
Yes.
I've got half of that. I got half of that.
What, the
your
eating?
Gallbladder?
Yeah, I eat whatever I want, but I haven't mastered the not gaining weight part.
Oh. Hey,
you know you're halfway there, man. you're fighting the good fight. You keep it up.
Doing what I can.
Lori said any pill that lets you erase one mistake and all its consequences, I don't even know what I would choose. I mean, if you could choose any single thing in your entire life,
I don't know.
And
don't
all
know
of the consequences.
One thing?
Yeah, we all have long lists, so you can't just pick one.
Coming up with
my biggest mistake is difficult because there's just so many of them.
I feel like the mistakes are important so that you learn from them, and it's like fire, right? Like once you burn yourself with fire, you don't go back and touch that fire. So if you've already made it once, don't you expect to go back and kind of do it again because you never learned your lesson?
I don't know. I've lived a pretty cushy life, so it's like for me, I'm just like, I don't know.
You're like, I'm pretty happy. I'm just, you know, I just eat and sleep all day. It's pretty good. If I'd done something differently, sure, I could have invested early in Amazon, but then you'd probably have to be all motivated and have a bunch of money. And yeah.
I would have had to have money to invest back then. Yeah, yeah.
Brandon said a pill to fix a broken heart.
Brandon.
I'm sorry, baby.
But also, again, that's another one of those ones that, like, is it good that we are just dead inside?
I think it is.
Hey.
So loud.
That's so annoying.
Oh, sorry. I was giving Brandon a little kiss on the forehead.
Okay. He doesn't want a kiss from you.
Audrey said, I want a pill to forget that.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So if you could take any single pill, what would it be, and would you take it right now? Sean said, okay, I have two here, and I would take them both, given the opportunity. Male birth control, number one.
Ooh.
Yes, or a pill to make me instantly stop smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
Oh, I like both of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just have Ray Liotta come over to your house and just stare at you. That'll get you to stop and have him talk about Chantix.
Chantix.
Ew.
It gives you nightmares, but it just makes look you stop smoking. It makes me sweat at night in my sheets, but it's all right. I'm not smoking the cigs anymore.
God, just stare at a picture of Ray Liotta and you will quit smoking.
Like, did he die 4 years ago? What is wrong with that guy? Why is he so
turning
pale?
Zombie.
Turning into a cat.
Michael said a pill that would make me wake up when this is all over and we can just go to concerts again, or perhaps more importantly, a pill that would make all of this political division go away.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Cosign on that one. Let's go back to the male birth control real quick. Audrey, would you trust a man to take a male birth control pill?
In late 20s, 30s, 40s, yes. Early 20s and teens, no way. No way. Like, there's, I mean, you can barely, like, whenever you're in college, you can barely, like, rely on them to get to class on time and, like, shower and put on deodorant, let alone one extra step for a pill. No. Nuh-uh. Whenever they get a job and some stuff to lose, maybe.
There you go. That's what it is right there. Is when there's something for them to lose, then you trust them to take the pill. Zachary just said, making people more considerate. How about that? Just a pill to make people nicer. That makes sense.
I like that.
I've got one I can add on top of that. You know, I feel like the making people nicer. Yeah, that's great and all. How about this? How about a pill that makes everybody a good driver?
Ooh, I would take that.
Yeah, you need to take that.
What about like make me like NASCAR fast?
Yeah. No, not even that. Just knowing how to use your turn signals. The bare minimum of good driving.
If they actually do come out with a pill to make you a good driver, Audrey, you need to crush that up and snort it right now. Yeah. Just get it into the system as quickly
baseline
as possible.
Just
straight into my veins.
Carly said a hangover pill. Getting older has made the hangovers even worse. I can literally have two drinks and feel terrible the next day.
Girl, I feel you. I feel you.
If I only felt bad the next day, yeah, that would be great. But like any time that I get to the level of drunk, it's a 72-hour recovery.
Oh,
now,
easily
at this point.
Yeah.
But to be fair, though, like I feel like you go into like my Hanimal sometimes. So it's like if you casually drink, it's no big deal. But
you
have that one
fine.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just when the Mahanimal comes out and things get off the rails. Yeah, that is a 3-day hangover.
You know, wouldn't that be interesting if you could take a pill and separate your personalities and then whatever the consequences are that belong to Mahanimal, only Mahanimal suffers those. Jason does not. Only the Mahanimal does.
God, I wish.
You just go down into the basement and hose down Mahanimal who's in his cage. He's chained to the wall. Think about what you've done.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X1075.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Is there anything that is unhealthy to eat, but then when you look at it, you think to yourself, I could finish that whole thing by myself? For example, I see a jar of Nutella. I tell myself, I could finish the whole thing by myself. You guys ever see anything like that?
Message deleted.
Yeah.
A box of wings. I mean, getting through.
Easy.
Because wings are just, there's not too much substance to each one. And so all of a sudden I find yourself getting through 8 or 10 or 12 pretty easily for me. Yeah, that and then a bottle of wine.
So for me, there's this, I don't know if you guys are like Trader Joe fanatics like I am, but I love Trader Joe's, and they have these caramelized, or these like these candied pecans that are the most ridiculous thing in the world. And, you know, I mean, probably a billion calories in there. Once I open it, I cannot stop eating it. It is like crack.
Yeah. When you say there's a billion calories, do you actually know how many calories are in a bag of those? Have you ever actually done the math on it?
It's a little plastic container that's, you know, it's like about yay high. You know, it's about a foot by a foot. And
A foot by foot.
Well, maybe half a foot. You know, I'm not great with the
You're like, yeah, no, that looks like 12 inches to me. That's about right. Yeah.
Close enough. But my guess is probably at least 5,000. At least 5,000 calories.
5,000 calories? Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Serving size is five of them, and those calories are 190. So you can do the math there. Yeah, that's a lot of calories.
Mm, okay. Audrey, what about you? Is there anything that once you get going on it, it's toast?
Pizza. Like, I could totally crush a whole pizza easily. Mm. Or wings, too. Pretty much anything. If I've like, got a craving for it. Ramen, I could just continue on with every, like, bowl slurping up. Oh, God. Yeah.
Man, pizza is the worst. Like, I'll sit there and be totally full and just pick up that greasy ass piece of pizza that I know I don't want, and I just can't help myself from just shoving it in my face.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You all were talking about chicks wearing underwear that tends to ride up or is completely up in their butts. Well, obviously, you all never participated in swimming competitions. I feel your pain, ladies.
Message deleted.
What are you talking about, sir? I was on the swim team, and my beautiful periwinkle blue Speedo never rode up my butt. You
had a periwinkle blue Speedo that matched your periwinkle Ford Probe?
Ford Probe GT, thank you, yes. Yeah, I did, as a matter of fact.
Periwinkle phase, yes.
I didn't actually have them at the same time. I mean, I had the... Unfortunately for me, I was on the swim team when I was in junior high before I developed, if you will.
Oh, is that what...
And so to make matters even worse, before puberty really hit... I was also in the pool, if you can just imagine how embarrassing that was. It was pretty bad. But, yeah, no, for me, the Speedo never really rode up. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you see some of those guys. I don't know if you have watched as many bodybuilding competitions as I have, but I used to do play-by-play for Mr. Olympia, which is, like, the big bodybuilding competition, and the Arnold. And so you'd see a lot of dudes in Speedos and... Some of those were definitely what is it called, the French cut, where it's kind of it goes
the
intentionally into the butt. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah,
like the '80s mom cut. You know what I'm talking about?
It's
that comes
back
up like towards the hips.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Those back. Are back.
But then like the seam goes right down, as opposed to like most swimsuits where there's not a seam like actually in the butt crack. What's the one, Audrey, where the seam is actually in the butt, so that way the swimsuit kind of is molded.
Are you talking
to the
about
cheeks.
A thong? It's like a thong.
No. Where you have kind of like imagine it being like a Speedo.
Cheekies is what we call it. Like
cheekies. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think French cut is right.
French cut, right?
So I don't know.
So they can show the glutes off.
The curvature. Oh. Yes.
Mm. A little peach. That's what we do it for.
Mm-hmm. Please leave a message after the tone.
Is there a time during the show where you guys start to feel wide awake and consider yourself at your best? Like, is Mahoney his best around 7:30, Audrey at 9:50, that kind of thing?
Message deleted.
I'd say because we fire up the live stream at around 7:45 every day, and so because of that, everyone's kind of got to be on him. Like Audrey, literally 3 seconds ago, finished putting on her makeup, and Mahoney changed into his Tommy Bahama shirt of the day. So I don't know about you guys, but she's got her little plate of makeup right there.
Plate of makeup.
Yeah, like whenever the cameras come on and things start rolling, you're also everyone's had their coffee or whatever it is that they're drinking for the day, so. Yeah, I feel very alive by the time we get to 7:30.
We are all equally awful start to finish on this show. There is no better or worse. It's all eh.
You are so polars. Like you are always either talking about how you are like the king of all or then that we all suck, including you. Pick a lane, brother.
No, man, you gotta keep people on their toes and set expectations low. If you start expecting stuff from us, then you're gonna be disappointed.
He's not wrong.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
No going in. This is going to be a bad lay.
You're going to get laid. It's just not going to be the best lay of your life. That's all.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on on X107.5.
All right, let's get today's Redneck Report underway. A naked man found dead after falling through the ceiling after being hit by a vehicle. Boy, there's a lot going on here. A 46-year-old man was found dead near Tucson earlier this week. According to the sheriff's office, an acquaintance of the man reported that he had climbed into the crawl space of a home in the 3600 block of Robbs Road, then crashed through the ceiling. Joel Matthew Miller, who was naked, ran from the home and into the desert. Deputies found him lying on the settlement on the ground. Investigators say the man was hit by a vehicle and then left in the roadway. So this dude, let me try to get this right, broke into a house naked, climbed into the crawl space, fell through the ceiling in the kitchen, then runs out of the home and promptly gets run over by a car and killed. I mean, that
and
just
then the
seems
other person
like,
runs off.
And then the other person just leaves him. You're like,
I mean,
boy,
if you
there's
hit
a lot going on.
A naked person in the middle of the street, late at night. I mean, I could see why somebody would run off, right?
I'd freak out.
I wouldn't, but I could see why somebody would.
I think I'd just sit there and scream.
If you hit a naked guy that just fell through a kitchen ceiling and maybe he's got part of a fluorescent bulb still in his ass, you'd be like, I mean, if you run over, you know, somebody on the city council, you ain't going to get away with it. But if you run over that dude, there's a pretty good chance they're going to be like, well, that wasn't your fault.
I'm just going to be like, that was a deer. That had to have been a deer.
That was a deer,
really pale, hairless deer.
That's the plot from I Know What You Did Last Summer, man. You're like, what was that? I'll just keep going. And the next thing you know, there's some dude following you around and Jennifer Love Hewitt screaming
phones.
In the woods. Yeah,
you know why? So, you know why I hated I Know What You Did. I Know What You Did Last Summer, Part Two, the sequel, because at the very beginning, well, yes, that too. But at the very beginning of the movie, they all went a trip to somewhere because they called into a radio station, a radio show, and won a trip for answering a trivia question correct, and the trivia question was, what is the capital of Brazil? And they say Rio de Janeiro. And me being the geography buff that I am, knew that that was wrong because it's Brasilia. I was mad the whole movie. I'm like, no, it's Brasilia. Brasilia is the capital of Brazil.
That's the whole plot line, though, is that,
well,
is that
I know,
they,
but I figured,
they gave
I knew
the wrong answer
in.
And they still won the trip
I know.
Because it was a fake
you
radio
show. You figured that out at the end, but it's spoiler.
That's what you get for being so smart, Mahoney.
Ruined that experience for me.
The Florida man gets jailed after reportedly trying to punch passing vehicles. Seems like a good idea. A 44-year-old man, which seems far too old to be doing this, was standing in the middle of the road. When deputies approached him, he became aggressive, refused to give his name, and resisted arrest. Deputies eventually identified him, placed him under arrest. He was transported to the Marion County Jail and charged with resisting an officer without violence. He's being held on bond, but they still don't know exactly why he was standing in the middle of the road attempting to punch passing vehicles. And I don't know
that's
why.
A real bad idea, right?
I mean, on every
ever tried
level.
Tried to hit a moving vehicle with something?
No, I just imagine that he's missing the entire time, and then any time that he does connect. I mean, have you ever tried to punch a window?
I've tried to hit a window of a moving car with a golf club, and I will tell you, it does not work out well. Does not work.
Hurt
out
your
well.
Wrist?
Do you want to share
about,
as to why?
It was a giant melee that me and my friends were in, and like in high school, got into like a giant thing, and then somebody tried to hit us with a car. We had a bunch of bats and golf clubs and stuff.
You call it a melee, huh?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Melee?
Not melee?
I called this was a melee.
It was not a melee.
I was trying to get malayed.
A melee?
That's like what you call your potato chips. You're like, those are malays.
But yes, no, I hit a car with a golf club, and it bounced off, and it came back. I had a friend who hit the side of a car. He did not hit I hit the glass. He hit the like quarter panel and with a bat, and it bounced back, and it hit him in the side.
Oh, no.
It hurt him more than it hurt the car.
This one is pretty great. A man, his name is David Culver II, 36, has pled guilty to hiring a hitman to kill a social worker in Ohio. So this guy obviously had some problems, and he has a pretty significant criminal history, and he called the person that was his social worker, and he said that he needed a huge favor from them. He needed to see his kids more, and they're like, no, you've got this enormous criminal history. Like, it's going to be a while until you're able to see your kids again. And so he called somebody else and said, I need a huge favor from you now. I need to get rid of somebody ASAP. And as it turns out, as they always are, they're hiring an undercover cop posing as a hitman. It's never actually a hitman.
But they didn't go to Craigslist this time.
No, so they didn't.
I feel like that's the plot twist here.
And they met in person. So he met this undercover deputy at a local restaurant and sure enough gave him money to kill the social worker so that way he'd be able to see his kid sooner, even though that's, you know, not how it works.
No.
So as you'd suspect, now it's going to be a much, much, much longer time before he's able to see his kids again. And that's probably a good thing. I mean, I don't know if you really want the kids around hitman dad. You know, it's just not a good look for anyone.
Like, I get it. You want to see your kids, but there are ways to go about that and, you know, hiring a hitman.
Murder is not at the top of the list. Yeah. So good luck with that strategy.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5. The David Mahoney Morning Show presents The Internet is Awesome.
Some of our favorite audio clips from this past week, and there are some good ones. Let's get right into one of the weirder things that happened this week, which is when the Golden Gate Bridge was making this really weird noise. And it's not because construction was going on. In fact, they don't even know why it was making this strange humming noise. And it was pretty disconcerting to people in the Bay Area because you could hear this reportedly miles away from the Golden Gate Bridge. So let's have a listen to this thing.
Aliens.
Yeah.
It feels like aliens or something real bad's going to happen.
Some Godzilla. Like, that actually sounds like the intense music.
Godzilla. It does sound like Godzilla.
The intense music in a movie right before something, like right before Godzilla pops out of the water. Like, this is what you hear. And then and starts. Yeah. So that's happening. Meanwhile, something much more relaxing is also happening. We have a couple of music-based ones here that I want to share with you. This is the Dalai Lama. On his 85th birthday, he is going to be dropping a new album. And I didn't even know that is this the first Dalai Lama album that we've gotten? Do you guys know? Has he done this in the past? I'm just not sure.
This is his first musical endeavor. He has put out a bunch of like audiobooks of his teachings. But the first time, mantras. Again, musically, that he's dropping some fire like this.
Well, let's have a listen. That's nice.
Hit him with the piano too.
Yeah. So this is actually a little known fact about the Dalai Lama and his music. His teachings obviously are well regarded around the world, but much like us here at the Dave Mahoney Morning Show, the Dalai Lama is also a huge fan of bidets. And I don't know if you guys caught that, but there's actually a bidet that you can hear splashing in the background. Let me just play the beginning part for you again. Okay. Here we go. That's the water on the sphincter right there. Right on the sphincter.
Is that noise like the whistling of your beehole after?
Lama, we're recording. Don't do that while we're recording, Lama. Don't do it.
He's just sitting there on the bidet. He's like, na-na-na-na-na. Which is exactly what I do when I'm sitting on a bidet. How did he get so relaxed? All right, let's go to something not so relaxing. This is from Cover Your Ears. This is a Boulevard of Broken Dreams cover from Green Day, and boy, is this a doozy. Timing right on.
So bad.
Everything about that was perfect.
It's like everybody else got high, but then the drummer took an Adderall. Like, what the hell?
Continuing with a song from Cover Your Ears, this is the classic Mahoney, Pour Some Sugar on Me, and another straight banger.
Come on, take a bottle, shake it up, break the bubble, break it up. of love.
Pour some sugar on me.
Oh, God.
I loved it. And like everybody else?
So bad. So good.
This has gone so quickly good. Downhill from that very relaxing bidet song from the Dalai Lama to this.
Why did we finish with that? Oh, my God.
And because we have to finish with this one. This is a Karen. We've seen a lot of Karens these past couple of weeks floating around on social media. This one is amazing, though. There is a woman that's walking through a park, and she is furious at these kids that are out there playing. And they're in one of those little cars that you can drive around. And she's mad because these kids are clearly driving through the park in this car without a driver's license. How could they?
They're playing. That's what the park is for.
I never saw a car in here before.
It's a power wheel car, man.
It doesn't bother me. What bothers me is you have a little kid in here that doesn't have a driver's license. He's just a little kid. You're not with him.
It's not a real car.
It's not a real car. They don't need a driver's license for it. So it's tough to end on a Karen, so let's swing it back to the Dalai Lama.
Is that his butt whistling?
My butt.
Yes.
Oh. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So Governor Sisolak wants to pardon people convicted of minor marijuana possession because, yeah, of course. He announced this on Thursday morning that he wants the Board of Pardons to provide pardons to thousands of people who have previously been convicted of possession of small amounts of marijuana. He placed a resolution for consideration for Wednesday, June 17th. So that is coming up next week. The proposed resolution would unconditionally pardon individuals previously convicted of possession of 1 ounce or less of marijuana, not for the purpose of sale. So, again, ridiculous. If you still have that hanging around on your record, especially considering it's been, what, 3 years since it's been legal here in Las Vegas? So, yep. Yeah, no big deal at this point, and getting rid of it off people's records is a big thing, too. But it didn't specifically say that. I don't know if they're actually going to wipe it off their records or not, but I hope so.
I mean, that's not how, like, pardons, it still stays on your record. Traditionally, is how it works. You have to go get things expunged, and that's a whole other legal process. But if you are a non-violent offender who got caught with less than an ounce of weed and you're in prison 3 years later after it was legal, there is something wrong with that, with our legal system. So I get that there's some Puritans out there who are going to go like, well, they're criminals, they shouldn't have done the crime, but
let's be real. Who cares?
No. Yeah.
Let these people out. Because the amount of taxpayer dollars that go to keep just a nonviolent, even a nonviolent offender like that in prison is still, you know, a lot, like $40,000+ a year, maybe more.
Those people who have got their panties up in a bunch over these people who are in prison for weed need to go smoke some weed and chill out.
Yeah.
Like, they need to go chill out somewhere.
Facts.
Yep. So the event happened yesterday. It was called Shea Day, and it was for the wounded police officer Shay Michelonis here in Las Vegas. He is he's still fighting for his life and is not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. They have no idea if he's ever going to be able to be off of a ventilator for the rest of his life. No idea what quality of life is going to be like. And so yesterday there was an event called Shea Day. It was over off, and we talked about it on the program yesterday. It was over off Sahara and Jones, the Quick Care over there. And I went out there yesterday and met with the people and signed the banner and made a donation, all that stuff. It was really, really encouraging to see how many people were out there yesterday. And I was talking to some of the organizers of the event, and they said it was like that all day. They raised over $80,000 yesterday.
Great.
Wow.
Just
with
people coming out. Thousands of people came out. So it was an enormous success. So congratulations, I say, to the city of Las Vegas for rallying around somebody that really needs it right now. We talked about it kind of at length, right? It's not about picking sides. It's not cops versus protesters. This is a 29-year-old. I actually had a chance to talk with his dad briefly yesterday at it, and he's like, Shay, you know, listens to you guys all the time, and we had no idea whether he's a listener or not. Doesn't matter, but it's just a member of our community, right? And so the fact that everyone's rallying together and doing everything they can to try to help this young man and hopefully aid in an eventual recovery. We just don't know if it's going to get there yet or not, unfortunately. But really, really cool to see so many people getting together yesterday to support this young man.
Yeah, and if you you know, if you're one of these people who can't empathize with a young man who's had, you know, so much taken away from him, and you can, and you're just like, well, and you're trying to politicize this, please take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror about what the real problem is. I mean, really do, because nobody deserves this. Nobody.
Yeah. If you can't have empathy for people that are fighting for their lives, regardless of what their political affiliation is, regardless of how you view them, you're doing it wrong, right? You're just doing it wrong. So COVID cases are up in Las Vegas, but not as up as they were a couple of days ago. So new tests went up 185 to 8,100. So there's obviously a concern that, you know, some of these numbers are continuing to jump. We saw earlier this week, 235 is the number that it jumped up. So Nevada exceeded 10,000 cases on Tuesday as new cases increased by 244. And the period before that was 295. So look, the numbers are going to go up, but we'll see. I mean, it's been a couple of weeks since things started to reopen, and now it's been a week since the casinos started to reopen, and obviously there's been a lot of protests with a lot of people at them over the course of the last week. So really, we got, you know, another week or two, and then we'll start to figure out if there's going to be potentially another second wave. But there's a number of states right around us that are showing a great amount of concern, especially Arizona. And the mayor of Phoenix even came out today and said, we reopened way too soon. So just the idea that people are still out and, you know, they are protecting themselves. I do still see a lot of people wearing masks. I would say that that's still very necessary.
Not on the strip, though. Everybody I've talked to, or, you know, who's messaged us about, like, if they work down on the strip or if they spend some time down there, they say that the percentage of people who are wearing them down on the strip is very, very, very low. And you know, here's the thing, too. The masks, I'm going to continue. I don't care if I look like a dunce out in public or not. I'm going to continue to wear them, mostly because it still goes with my outfits.
Of course, you got it to match.
I coordinated. But, you know, the masks are for our safety. You know, they really are.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. So yeah. I'm going to continue to wear mine. I know we all kind of feel the same way on that. But, you know, I just hope that, you know, I mean, Las Vegas and Southern Nevada has done a pretty good job up until this point, and the casinos are doing the best that they can. But, yeah, you're right, Dave. A couple weeks, we'll see. But hopefully we don't have any giant spikes like we're seeing in pretty much all the states around us that are touching us.
So Allegiant Stadium is going to be hiring 4,500 part-time staff for Las Vegas Raiders games, assuming that, you know, there's going to be fans allowed to be at those games. But everything from hospitality, food service, security, ticketing, and much more. So the virtual recruitment website is going to be taking applications starting this Saturday, June 13th. So all applicants will get an email when the forms are submitted successfully. When a recruiter starts reaching out to arrange interviews or discuss next steps, you'll know that you're getting closer. But 4,500 part-time jobs over at the new Raiders Stadium, which is pretty awesome. Just hoping, obviously, that they'll be able to, you know, have fans at the games and employ all of those people.
Yeah, I think we'll have fans at the games by the end of the season, but I don't know if we will by the beginning, you know, just because that's coming. You know, I mean, we're already halfway through June. You know, I mean, I know every day feels like a month, but, you know, time is still ticking.
Yeah.
You don't think that they would do it at a 50% capacity?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it depends on what.
How do you, like, when all the PSLs are sold and, like, I mean, how do you choose who gets to go where? That's like, it does create a pretty big conundrum for, you know, for the owners.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation, right? I have no idea how you really solve that riddle. But, I mean, you know, maybe 50% capacity, maybe no fans. I mean, that's what we're seeing for a lot of these other sports. But the NFL kind of marches to the beat of its own drum. So I don't know, Audrey. I'm just not sure how you solve that riddle.
Well, because they're going to have to end up refunding part of the season anyways for these people who have bought into the season and they can't even go. So I feel like maybe sacrificing a little bit for a lot, like, or a little for a little versus all would be more worth it.
I think they're gonna do the right thing. I mean, I think the owners, for the ticket holders and stuff, I think, you know, there's contracts in place. You know, I feel like they're going to do the right thing in this particular case. I don't, like, the NFL makes so much money, you know, I mean, like, and yes, there's a lot of money at stake, but, like, do you risk alienating these people who have spent thousands and thousands or tens of thousands of dollars on these PSLs and these tickets? I don't think so.
Giant over on Twitch said, cheapest way to watch a game is to apply for a part-time job there. It just depends on what the the position is, because you can't be somebody that's working in the concourse doing hospitality and food, right? You'd have to be like an usher or something in order to see
beer,
all the food games.
Yeah. You're walking up and down the stairs. Your butt is gonna be popping. Oh, yeah. You are if you're looking to get that ass in shape, sell
Snakes,
them beers.
Let's go.
And you gotta have a cool voice. You gotta have a cool voice.
Today was David Mahoney.
You have to have that stadium voice. Man, hot dogs, man, popcorn, man. Got some beer over here.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Audrey hates when we do this so much, which just makes me love it even more. There's two things that I look forward to the most about the blooper reel. One is seeing how mortified Audrey is going to get, and two is anticipating eagerly that hot fire that Ian, I know, is going to bring at the end of this track, because he always has a little remix for us at the end of it. These are some of our not-so-fine moments from this past week that Ian has put together in the blooper reel. Ian, would you say that there is a certain individual that is the star of the blooper reel this week, or was it a team effort?
In terms of volume, there is a definite standout here, but overall, the bloopers really came from everybody.
It's an all-new
especially blooper. Especially Audrey.
Oh, my God.
Great.
It's the... That's the blooper reel.
Kudos to the billionaires who have been able to pave the way that they were able to become successful. Kudos to the billionaires who have been able to pave the way that they were able to become successful.
Certain emails can be, text messages, or just finding ways to improve our workflow.
Our what?
Workflow.
Okay.
Spit in my jowls. Our workflow.
Our what? Mahoney recently forgot to eat until about 5 p.m. one day last week, and then became a maniacal toddler, and then became a maniacal toddler.
My wife asked me that too when we were getting ready to go. She's like, "Hey, do you want to bring a bottle of bourbon?" I'm like, "You do not bring bourbon on a boat. Like no, that is not the no, no. That's how I drive."
It's an awesome alliteration.
No, that's how I drive.
It's an awesome alliteration.
The players will have to sequester longer than normal, also quarantine for 14 days before entering the game. Some players have already declined due to COVID-19.
Our workflow.
Our what?
Kudos to the billionaires who have been able to pave the way that they were able to become successful.
Maniacal.
No, that's how I drive.
It's awesome, literally.
Doo-doo.
Doo-doo.
KXTFM HD1 Pahrump, Las Vegas. A radio.com station. Broadcasting live from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios. This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5. X107.5 presents radio.com's Salute to Seniors.
So here in the Las Vegas Valley, we've talked about it a lot over these last couple of weeks. Just wanted to take an opportunity to congratulate some of the seniors that maybe didn't get a chance to graduate in the fashion that they thought. This one is going out to Tracy Kyrie, and a bunch of parents have been nominating their seniors for a shout-out on the radio. Congratulations, Tracy. We are so proud of you. Always remember, there is no limit to how high you can go as long as you continue to believe in yourself as much as we do. You can only go higher. Love, Mom and Dad. So congratulations, Tracy.
Woo-hoo.
Big graduation moment this year, obviously, and I would echo that sentiment. Like there's no limit to what you can achieve in this life as long as you continue to believe in yourself. It's brought to us by our friends.
You're ruining it.
You ruined everything. It's brought to us by our friends at Blue Apple Electric. Not a bad apple in the bunch. Need a local electrician? Call 702-793-2800. Just ruined graduation.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So Kelly Clarkson has filed for divorce from her husband, Brandon Blackstock. She filed for divorce citing irreconcilable differences. According to court documents, the voice coach and Blackstock, who is a music manager, have been married since October 2013. They have two kids together. And during the coronavirus pandemic, Clarkson and Blackstock, they spent their time together at their property in Montana. It was from there that Kelly Clarkson's been recording her daily television show and doing her appearances on The Voice. In documents that were filed June 4th, Kelly Clarkson, who filed as Kelly Blackstock, the singer is requesting joint legal and physical custody of their kids. Court documents say the pair had a prenuptial agreement, so don't have to worry about that. But this is a little bit surprising, I guess, because it seemed like they, at least publicly, were always very happy together in the time that they were. And they very also publicly documented the challenges that they had had with getting pregnant and having kids and everything else. But I think that it's kind of the pressure cooker, right? I mean, during during the quarantine time and being kind of locked down, I mean, normally she'd be traveling all over the place on airplanes, going, you know, to New York to do her show or filming, you know, the Voice out in films in Los Angeles, I believe. Yeah, it's maybe not surprising that some marriages aren't going to make this through it. But Kelly Clarkson is one of those. So after 7 years, calling it quits, and she is back on the market, as is he.
Good. Just I mean, I would rather somebody get rid of. I would rather somebody keep the peace by separating for the children that way than having them stick together and see mom and dad not do well. I would rather happiness and have them find happiness and other you know with other people and you know watch that happen versus mom and dad hate each other and they have to spend each other their time with each other till we're 18. I don't like that.
No, yeah, I'm with you. Like if it's not working, just punt, right? Like just be done with it and move on, and that's what they're doing. Wendy Williams, speaking of doing things from home, she addressed fans from her apartment on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and she explained that she is done filming her show at home. I haven't watched Wendy Williams' show ever. I've seen some clips of her, you know, fake fainting and doing all sorts of nonsense, farting, saying really inappropriate things at really inappropriate times.
I would say her show actually has been better from home.
Has it really? Well, she is done with it. She wants to get back.
And her cats are showing up. Like, it's way more interesting than the garbage.
She's got a bunch of interesting stuff in her apartment. She's got like life-size Mickey Mouse. Like, yeah. I don't know where you got that, but cool, Wendy.
She's a bad friend, though. Like, she's not a good person.
Why do you a bad friend? Why do you say that?
Yeah, so like she has like a friend. I guess Mahoney, you actually brought up NeNe Leakes not too long ago, but she is like always dishing out on like information that NeNe's just like confiding in her in, and she like goes on her show and leaks it all. Which I don't know if that's like their relationship, if that's done on purpose, but if it's not, and that's one of my friends who was doing that to me, no way.
That ain't a friend.
Not a friend.
That ain't a friend. Nope.
So Metallica has teased a new release. So they've got S&M Master of Puppets. So they're releasing a box at S&M 2 in August. And if you guys aren't familiar with the first S&M album, it's where they got together with the San Francisco. It was actually with an orchestra in San Francisco where they played the music live.
It's a symphony.
Yes.
And Metallica.
And
that's
Metallica,
how you get S&M.
Gotcha. And so they get together with the symphony and they start beating each other with violins until one of them. It's actually really exciting. So if you're a big fan of the first S&M album, there's another one on the way. And Ian, is this actually a clip? Is this a real preview clip of the second album?
No, they have not released any other details besides the S&M 2 box set will be out in August. But I did pull just a small clip from Master of Puppets, the original.
From Master of Puppets,
S&M.
The original. Yes. Okay, so here it is. If you didn't listen to the S&M album from Metallica, do yourself a favor and check it out, because it is some really, really quality stuff.
Yep. I love that album from Metallica. Them performing with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. I mean, when you think of amazing, bigger-than-life bands, Metallica still pops up. You know, I mean, 40 years they've been going strong, one of the biggest bands in the world. And when you combine them with a symphony orchestra, it becomes truly something special. So I love this news.
And James Hetfield had amazing glow-up.
Yeah, he's kind of been in and out of rehab, though, right? Like, he's had a lot of, like,
he's talked about his struggle, you know. He's battled alcohol addiction. But, you know, I love that he's talking about it, and then he's out there, you know. It's like, not everybody beats it on the first try, or not everybody gets it right, you know, in and out. I think what Audrey's saying is he's got more handsome as he's gotten older as well.
Uh-huh. Oh.
That's what I was
Would you... Given the opportunity, James Hetfield, yeah?
I would kiss him right on the mouth. Heck yeah. He is such a cutie guy. Like, he is totally, maybe not like early James, but
the long hair,
James,
you're running into the long hair, but the short hair.
He just kind of looked a little greasy. But no, I think that he's gotten good looking as he's gotten older, and I really like that he, like, hunts and farms his own food. Like, that's, like, really cool to me. Like, he'll.
Does he?
He has, like, his own garden. Whatever he kills, he eats. And whatever he plants, he eats. And that's it. And that's how he's raising his kids, too. I love that.
Good for James Hetfield, man. Yeah, living off the land.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
Farmer James.
Farmer Jimmy.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I've been growing my hair out for the past couple of months. We all know why, but I attempted to put it in what they call a man bun the other day, and I don't get it. I don't get how some dudes get it to look that way. When I baby alfalfa, the Little Rascals reference.
Message deleted.
Appreciate the reference, but the man bun, that ship has sailed, right? I mean, is there anyone that's still successfully pulling off the man bun?
There's good looking guys. You have to be really good looking to rock a man bun. Like, you have to be like. Like, there's a guy, who is it? If anybody watches Million Dollar Listing New York, which I'm sure all of you watch on a regular basis, but there is a realtor on there. His name is Steve Gold, who is very handsome, who can rock a very distinguished looking man bun. But he's also like a male model. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's if you're very good looking.
Yeah, if you're like a male model or a surfer or something, you know, that has the man bun, you gotta be
tan and have
tan.
Abs.
Tan abs and stubbed like the 5 o'clock shadow.
Good smile too.
So Jared Leto, essentially. You guys just described Jared Leto.
Basically.
I don't know if Jared Leto has a six pack, though. I feel like Jared Leto's too skinny.
Yeah.
We're talking like buff dude, like Jason Steve Mimold. Gold. If you don't know who Steve Gold is, like I said, treat yourself, ladies.
He's a good looking man.
Bobby said, I have a Corona man bun. I look more like a homeless Asian samurai.
Please leave a message.
It's a look.
This is honestly a bucket list thing for me that I have yet to check off. I don't need one, but I want to do an entire shopping trip to Walmart riding in one of their scooters. I mean, I kind of just feel bad taking one. Should I? But can you help me accomplish this, guys?
Message deleted.
Help you accomplish what? You want to go on a shopping spree to Walmart? What? Did I miss something there?
No, with one of the carts. He wants to be in one of the electric carts. Shopping experience.
If they soup those things up, maybe. But the baskets are too small. Like, I don't know how people go shopping with those things. They're teeny.
Mm-mm. You need a whole trailer behind it. Like, give me one of those pallets that you get at Costco, and let me drag that behind the rest.
Hell yeah, man! Let me get a riding lawnmower with a flatbed behind it, and then we'll do some shopping at Costco. Like, get the rascal at Walmart doesn't seem fun.
I don't even have grass, but I want one of those like lawnmowers that can turn on a dime. That those like 360 lawnmowers. You know what I'm talking about? Like those professional ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hell yeah! Like those things that you see out on the golf courses, like those professional ones where they're just whipping that bitch. Oh man! Mm-hmm. Natalie on Facebook said the scooters suck. Her leg's been all jacked up. What was it, like a skateboarding accident or something that she jacked up her knee? So she's had like physical therapy and in the brace and everything else. Like the scooters seem fun when you don't need the scooter. I bet the scooter in real time. And also, if you get on there with crutches, like what do you do with the crutches when you're on the scooter? Do you just prop them up at the front, like where you get the scooters, then come back and pick them
I've
up later?
That.
Like, I don't know, man. Seems like a lot of work.
And they just go slow. I feel like I can go faster out of the scooter.
Yeah. Mahoney, it got approved. You're a emoticon.
I'm looking at it right now. If you are not following us on Twitch, twitch.tv/David Mahoney, our latest emote
is his foot.
The holy sock. The Holy Sock of Mahoney, jeez, which is, you know, which may be enshrined later on. I mean, it's only second to the Holy Shroud of Turin. Mahoney's Holy Sock has been approved as an emote on our Twitch page. So this is quite the momentous occasion, Dave.
Indeed it is.
It's so gross.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I got pulled over yesterday for going 5 over. You need to let me go. I got a ticket for going 5 over.
Message deleted.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You got pulled over for going 5 over because you know who else needs money right now? The government. They just handed out $5 trillion, and they're like, all right, let's get it back. 75 bucks at a time from people going 5 miles per over the 5 miles over the speed limit. Yeah, I've seen all kinds of speed traps all over the place, man. So just a heads up, like, there is definitely a real chance that this weekend, if you're cruising around, like, the cops are going to be out, no question about it.
Mm-hmm. But five
is ridiculous.
Give me six. You can't argue. Nine.
Anything. If you pull
me
over
while surface street.
Okay. If it's in a neighborhood, I get it. But if I'm on the interstate and you pull me over for going 8 miles per hour over, you are the worst cop of all time.
Devil. Like, I, like that, like legit, I would just be crying the entire time but for five.
If it's a guy on a motorcycle, you know you ain't getting out of it.
If you get pulled over by a guy on a motorcycle or in the rain, you are getting a ticket without question.
All day, every day. Yep. No talking your way out of that one.
Nope.
Have you ever been able to talk your way out of a ticket before?
Yeah, yes. I tried to show him a little nip slip one time.
What? Now, for real? No, I've never gotten out of a ticket ever.
If you're just really respectful, or that dad move when they're coming up to the car, if you roll down the back window so they can see and hear the kids crying in the car,
what do you do? Do you just pinch the kids before the cop comes over to make sure that they're really screaming?
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
The cops turn on the chair. I'm like, your mom and I are getting a divorce.
Well, all right then, my friends. All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast. It is another Friday morning, and we've made it. Have I made it? I mean,
we
kind of got through a mediocre week of shows, and now we are going to drink away all of our anxieties and... You know, this is just a thinly veiled ruse to let us drink at work on a Friday. Ooh. So, but we do have a brand new beer on the show today. I was telling our Twitch stream that this is a beer that we featured on the Beer for Breakfast podcast. I think a little over a year ago. I can't remember if Audrey or Ian sat in on that. Ian, were you in on that?
I believe I was, Mahoney, yeah. And the minute this hit my lips, I was brought back to that moment. Oh, it's so good.
So just in time for summer, as times are heating up, our friends over there at Craft House, who are now open, by the way, have provided us with a phenomenal sour beer for the summer.
By the way, for those of you that aren't aware, Craft House is a local brewery here in Las Vegas, and they make incredible beers. Huge fan of their beers and also their clothing line. So I'm wearing the Silver State shirt today, the new one that they were just kind enough to give me. But they're super soft, right? So we talk about how the Dave Mahoney Morning Show t-shirts are super soft all the time. I don't know if it's the same manufacturer or something similar, but their shirts are quality, and they are just really good. Yeah, good merch and great beer. And when you talk about it's called a fruited sour beer in the All the Peaches. Mm. I would agree with the Yo Fappa Fappa over on Twitch. The idea of true ASMR is the opening of a cold one as we're talking about getting into beer on a Friday morning. Like, yes, the sound of a nice cold beer cracking open. Beautiful.
And as Dave pointed out, even though you can't see him right now, he is wearing the Silver State shirt, which is named after their lager and obviously after Nevada, which we love dearly. And they have done a lot for the beer community in Nevada and Henderson in particular. Wendy, one of the owners, her and her husband, Dave, has actually become a registered lobbyist to be able to, they were one of the people who've been
changed
fighting
some of
for
the laws.
Beer legislation in Henderson and in Southern Nevada, and have gone to Washington to meet with, you know, I think it was the, like a craft beer delegation.
Yeah, but like Dina Titus and like on Capitol Hill and
Susie,
the whole bit.
Susie
so, yeah.
Lee was down Susie there Lee, and, you know, our reps from Nevada. So, you know, like really taking a part of the community besides making some really good beer. So let's get into the beer right now, Dave. This beer, All the Peaches, coming in a 16-ounce pint can, 5.4% alcohol by volume, and I believe they used, I think it was somewhere around 125 pounds of fresh peaches. Last year's version had 45. This year's almost triple that at 125 pounds of fresh peaches in this particular sour. So it's all, you know, the can is beautiful. I love the artwork on this. It's very colorful, very obviously pastel colors to remind you of a peach.
Or, as Ellie pointed out, the can matches Ian's new hair, which it kind of does. If you look at the top there of Ian's hair, where there was some blue previously, yeah, I can see that's a very nice pairing as well. That love hairdo it. And the can, it's beautiful.
Love a good aesthetic.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful can. Let's all take a big whiff and tell us what you guys smelling. Otter's not drinking, by the way. That's okay. She's on.
But
keto.
I do have the slushy, which I'm excited to talk about. But I did mess up, so I also have a PSA on these too. But sniff away your peach.
Dave, go ahead.
So I mean, yeah, I mean, you definitely get a little bit of tartness in the nose as well. There's some sweetness there. I am smelling it directly out of the can though, so I also smell aluminum.
Hey, you know what? I love that aluminum smell though. Like yeah. when you're cracking a fresh soda or cracking a fresh beer, it just brings you back a little bit of like even though it's not in the taste, I'm like there is a saltiness there as well. Yeah. Even though I'm not getting getting any salt in this particular in the flavor, but you know peaches, it's a tart nose, but it's not overpowering. You know this is definitely not an overpowering beer, so I don't think you're going to be turned off by the nose on this. So let's all move on to our favorite part of beer for breakfast. Let's all cheers and
cheers, friends.
A big drink. Cheers.
Happy Friday. Panty Man said that looks like a frozen IV bag of alcohol slushy. What exactly is that, Audrey?
So it's actually really cool. So shout out to Chill House for doing this because we were actually talking about how, you know, the sour that you all are drinking is really refreshing, like poolside style. Mm-hmm. This, they are doing a slush and you can actually order it curbside and it's has beer in it. So it's got a mixture of the Evocation, their Saison beer.
Saison.
And mango puree. And then they added a chamoy sauce. Chamoy? Chamoy? What is that?
I don't know.
Okay, so we're going to say chamoy.
Chamoy.
So I don't think
chamoy. Smacking traditional taste of Mexico. So what I'm going to say is that these probably taste like sunrises. You know what I mean? Like the tequila sunrise
chamoy.
Type of thing,
okay.
But
chamoy,
with,
yeah.
with beer chamoy. Added into it. But if you do get one of these, I mean, look how that's a lot, first of all. 16 ounces.
I've never seen a beer slushy to go before. Like I've seen
that's so cool.
Like I've drank their beer slushies in their brewery before and they are phenomenal, but I've never seen them to go and it's pretty it looks like an adult Capri Sun
and it comes with the straw as well. But I will say, so I messed up, but this actually could be a perk. I messed up by putting it in the freezer and I looked on their website and it says freezing not recommended.
Whoops.
But if you end up taking it or if you need it to like last you, you know, if you're out by the pool, out by the lake, going to wherever for the day, freeze it and then that way it'll be frozen for a little bit longer and then you'll be able to defrost it later and have it actually cold. So well,
see this is why I love our this is why I love our stream, David. This is why I love being on Twitch because everybody's able to correct our stupidity. They say chamoy, but then they say it's a you put it on fruit. It's spicy and yummy. It's a Mexican candy. So interesting.
So it's got some spice to it, man. I mean, at this point, I wish I could. But I mean, like, can you hear this?
Oh my god!
Straight Ow. I could assault somebody with this right now. Yeah. It is so frozen.
This is a family-friendly show. Put that away.
So Mahoney,
like that.
I know that you said that you don't get any of the salt in the.
I do
the
on
taste,
the very very end
on the very back end. Yeah,
after about 5 to 10 seconds. Yes.
Yep. You do get some of that salt there, which is interesting because you know you think about you know a fruity beer, but at the same time it's sour and then like kind of a nice salty finish to go along with the sweetness and the tartness. This beer is really something. And as far as like a hot summer day, like pool lake style, like this would go down real nice.
And tell Mahoney, me what your go ahead.
Oh no, but what I really enjoy about it, not only the flavor is amazing. This is definitely the kind of sour beer that I enjoy, fruity but not too overwhelming. But I like how it's 5.4%. Usually, when it comes to some of these fruitier
the fours,
ones, you get them in the
fours.
High fours. Yeah, yeah. But the 5.4, that's good looking for me.
We like stronger ABVs.
Yeah.
What's ABV? 5.4?
5.4. I mean, it's not super strong, but it's strong for, like, you know, it's up there for a sour or a sour, you know, a beer of that nature that aren't, like, aged in anything. But I think the peach really comes through. You get that nice salty finish. It's a very refreshing overall just pleasant experience to drink. So as far as good summer beers to be on the outlook for, all the peaches from our friends over there at Craft House. Salute. You guys have you took something that was great and you made it even better, and it is super peachy. And but it's not like when you say sour, and when we say this is a fruited sour beer, I wouldn't describe it as sour. It's tart. So it's no more tart than a sweet tart. So if you can handle a sweet tart, you will be able to handle this beer.
I'll say this much. I don't like sour things. I don't like sour candy. I don't like any of that stuff. Sweet tarts, though, is a great way of putting it because even when you think about a sweet tart, it's not so tart that it turns people off, right? So same sort of thing here where you talk about the tartness and you talk about the sour and everything else. It is very muted, and it blends really nicely with all the other flavors that you get. So I'm with you, man. This is a really, really good beer from a local house as well.
Yep, we love Craft House. Can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
Indeed.
Oh! Mahoney's, Bear Scale Supremacy, I get the all the peaches, fruit, and sour. Friends of Craft House, 4.1 out of 5.
Listen for reviews of your new favorite brews.
Cheers!
Beer for breakfast, every Friday morning at 9:30 with Dave and Mahoney.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Well, so this is awkward. A dude is suing his doctor for performing a rectal exam after the cops were convinced that he was hiding his drugs in his butt. So Mahoney jokes about this all the time, how if he ever needs to become a drug mule, he is going to hide everything in his kisser. But yeah, Timothy Young was initially seeking $707,000 from a doctor whose name is Dr. Bryant Beasley, and it's B-E-E-S-L-E-Y, who conducted a rectal examination back in October of 2012. At a 2017 trial, a jury sided with the doctor who claimed that law enforcement had conducted. However, a further ruling handed down by 3 appellate judges now allow the case to return to court. So this guy is not done with it yet. He said, I felt very violated to add insult to injury. He was billed $814 for the anal examination. Young has already... He's already received $925,000 in compensation from the county, but now he is free to go after the actual medical center as well as the doctor itself. So this you can rectally examine me all you want. If you're going to give me $925,000, this dude's just not done yet, though.
Nope. I wouldn't be either. Are you kidding me? You're making me bend over and like have that whole thing happen. And that's like kind of traumatic, especially if you have done nothing wrong.
I don't know. Who hasn't gotten a surprise something in there from time to time? I mean,
without a couple of drinks, it's traumatizing.
And it's also,
true. If he's able to have a couple of martinis first, loosen up, you know, then it's like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, man. I don't know why I'm just now coming to this conclusion, but I was thinking about, okay, you know, we know I'm going to be smuggling drugs in my butt, but it's kind of like, is that where the name fanny pack came from?
Probably.
So, this seems like a really, really bad idea. There's a company called Oxitec. They have received a experimental use permit from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to release genetically modified mosquitoes into the wild.
Why?
Have we never watched a movie ever?
Right.
Have we never watched a movie ever?
So the idea is that these movies, or the movies, these mosquitoes are going to go out and they're going to get rid of other mosquitoes that carry things like yellow fever and Zika and everything else. And the plan is that these genetically modified male mosquitoes will mate with the wild females and the genetics will cause the children to die, which could cause a collapse of the wild population. So they're trying to eliminate mosquitoes by doing this. However, we all know from watching every single movie ever, like you just said, Mahoney, that never, ever, ever works.
This is how the end times. Like, hey, guys, I get if this was like 2015 and things were going pretty well and things were cool, but it's 2020. Stop it with the genetically modified murder mosquitoes.
Murder mosquitoes. Yeah, we already have murder hornets. The last thing we need is murder mosquitoes. Some good news for people over in the United Kingdom. They can finally have relations again. So Boris Johnson confirms that single people can have relations with people that they don't live with. That was actually a real thing over in the UK where they said that if you weren't living with somebody, you weren't allowed to go over to their house and hook up with them, and you certainly couldn't spend the night. Now that that ban has been lifted. So this is this is part of the reopening of England, amongst other things, where they're able to actually hook up again for the first time since March 23rd.
Doesn't his name sound like an STD? Like Boris Johnson? Like, oh God, he's got the Boris Johnson.
Oh my God, do you have a Boris Johnson? Why is your Johnson so Boris?
Boris.
What is wrong with this thing?
What's that smell?
Mosquitoes.
Is it burning? Like, was your is a hair on fire? What is that? Your Johnson is way too Boris for me.
Oh.
Oh. And on that note, see you later.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me. It's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills. Home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. In the heart of the Golden West, home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.
Need more Dave and Mahoney? Follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dave and Mahoney. And download the daily podcast to listen on demand at x1075lasvegas.com or the radio.com app.